Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house on this beautiful sunny Sunday morning. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the friendship register at the end of the row and pass it on down for your neighbors to sign as well. If this is your first visit to Berry Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special welcome to you, and we'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church after our service. We'll be back in the lobby area shaking hands. Please do drop by and let us know this is your first visit. We'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave this morning. We're grateful to everyone who's contributed to the Undies Sunday collection in June. The Clay County Clothes Closet will distribute the clothing before the next school year begins. Your contributions are appreciated. Outreach committee members, please make note of this. The July outreach meeting is being postponed. It was scheduled for this coming Tuesday the 2nd. It's going to be held instead the week later on Tuesday, July 9th. It'll still be at the Thomas's home. Please bring a favorite dish to share and join us next Sunday, July 7th, after the 11 o'clock worship service for our July potluck lunch. The Faithful Families Sunday School class will be taking care of the setup and cleanup for that event. And also, please read through the bulletin, the information in the bulletin announcement page to learn more about the Sunday, the school supplies collection in July and other activities in our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. We want to thank everyone who's been helping drive the Jacoba children to and from school during the school week, because this is a holiday week coming up. The kids will not have school, so you and your cars can take a little break for the week. We're grateful for everyone who's responded to our 2020 stewardship drive through the pledge dedication Sunday last week. Doug Gentry will come forward and tell us a little bit more about that. We also want to encourage our elders, our deacons, and our committee chairpersons to please attend the July board meeting next Sunday, July 7th, right after the potluck.
I want to thank everyone for participating in the in our campaign by sending in their cards and bringing them down last week. It is very important that all the board members come next Sunday. I know it'll be a long day with church and the dinner, but it's a really important, we're gonna have discussion on the next step for the youth director, and it'll be very important for everybody to attend. We had 41% of the congregation return their campaign cards. And you know, the committee and the board, you know, we wanna make the right decision, so the more participation we have in that, the better. But what happened was that at our committee meeting, there was some confusion. Some people didn't really understand the campaign, or they were concerned about the purpose, or they just didn't see the need for giving that information. So, but adding a youth director to our staff is a big, big deal, okay? So we want to get it right, and so that's why the committee did the campaign. For two reasons: one, to see if we have enough money to have a youth director, you know, add a youth director, and number two, to make sure we maintain our church and the current bills that we have. Carol, our secretary of the church, is the only one that has access to that information. Some people were concerned about the privacy, but she has the only information. We don't share it with anybody else, and so that is to protect everybody's privacy. So we do appreciate your support with that. And if you haven't had a chance to turn in the information, we could really use that, because when we make these decisions, we want to make this decision with the most information. But we're excited. Our church is on a growth path now. We're having members join the church. We have a great youth program, and we want to see that continue. So your support of this next step is really, really, really critical. And Dennis and Lana and myself are available if you have any question at all. You can call us, and we'd be happy to take care of that question for you. Thank you.
Good morning. I just wanted to let everybody know that I truly, truly appreciate everyone who has signed up to volunteer to help in our Sunday school classes and our children's church. And we have a schedule that will start next week. I have them posted several places in the church. There's one back on the bulletin board here. There's one in the fellowship hall. There's one on a bulletin board in the hallway before you go down through the the hallway to the children's church. And if you want one of your own, I'll be glad to give you a copy. Please check and see if your name is on it for next month. This is next month's schedule. Dates at the top, the class where I'd like you to be in is on the side. And this is mostly for assistants. We pretty much have teachers' positions covered at this point. We do need people who are willing to do that on an occasional basis if somebody gets sick or just needs to be gone for a week. But again, thank you so much for volunteering. We appreciate it, and it makes everything, you'll enjoy it. Trust me, you will. And if you haven't signed up, give it a go. Thank you.
Well, folks, I missed an announcement. Don't know how I could miss this one. It has something to do with Vacation Bible School, which it's right here on my list. I don't know how I overlooked it. VBS begins a week from tomorrow, Monday, July 8th, from 9 o'clock to noon, and continuing through Friday, July 12th. If I'm doing the math right, we're doing a countdown here. We have 189 hours and 52 minutes before the start of Vacation Bible School. Anyway, snack donations of cookies and goldfish are needed. Not live goldfish, please. Crackers, goldfish crackers are needed. So please drop those off if you can, as well as volunteers to assist with shepherding our children and youth to their various classes. There's a sign-up sheet in the back lobby area. Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. I look to the mountains. Where will my help come from? He will not let you fall. Your protector is always awake. He will protect you as you come and go, now and forever. Let us sing hymn number 707, stanzas 1 and 4. Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's grounds. We're marching through Emmanuel's grounds to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Thank you, Paige Jones, for being our acolyte this morning. May we bow in a word of prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we're indeed privileged to be celebrating our country's Independence Day this upcoming Thursday. We remind ourselves that part of our tradition is the freedom of religion. And so we celebrate with gratitude the country in which we live, the beauty of the United States and of the earth, the human connections to those who hold similar beliefs, and the comfort of our community of believers who have also chosen to call Berry Christian Church their church home, and who we consider to be brothers and sisters in Christ as one united church family. Lord, we acknowledge we don't always take the time to be thankful for these things, so we do so now with humble hearts. And as we begin our worship together, we remind ourselves of the sacrifices of those who gave their lives in protection and defense of our country, and especially for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who also made that ultimate sacrifice so that we might be here today, sharing an authentic love and compassion for those around us, for those with all levels of need, from those who have much to share and those who are in need of much. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus, found on page 190.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. Dennis, I hate to tell you, but we're going to have to put bleachers down here for these guys. Good morning, guys. How are we doing? Yeah? Are we having a good summer so far? Let's see. Have we been able to go to the swimming pool?
Yeah.
Have any of you gone to any of the splash parks or just the park to play? Yeah? Yeah. Summer's awesome for that kind of stuff, isn't it? Yeah, playing at the park, playing in the water. Yeah. It's a little cold to do that in the wintertime. Yeah, it was cold. I took my grandkids to one of the splash parks this last week. And it's a pretty big splash park. It's pretty awesome. They've got a place for the little ones over there. And they've got all of this stuff over here with water shooting up and spraying down and falling over and coming from, I mean, it's everywhere. And then they have jungle gyms and swings and all this other equipment to play on. All of this really cool stuff that somebody spent a lot of time making and putting there. And while I was sitting there, there was this little girl She's about 2.5, 3 years old. And she played and splashed in the water a little bit. But then pretty soon, she's bent over like this. And she starts walking, just like this. And she walked right up to me and she goes, "Bug." She's following this bug. She's amazed by this little bug. All of this big, beautiful stuff to play with, and she's totally amazed by this little bitty bug. And I got to thinking about it. It reminded me that sometimes we pay so much attention to all of the big stuff that human beings have made and put together and tried to make fancy for us, that we forget to pay attention to all of the stuff that God has given us. Like little bitty bugs, and flowers, and trees, and a cool breeze on a hot summer day, and a sprinkler when it's hot, water, all the beauty and gorgeous things that God has given us. So, as we have this week, I know everybody's got plans for the 4th of July weekend. It's coming. It's going to be big. But as we're celebrating and we're using all of this man-made stuff and we're all happy, let's not to forget to pay attention to all of the beauty of the world that God has given us, including the little bitty ants that are going to get into your picnic. They're there for a purpose, really. Can we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, as we go about our daily lives and we get busy and we see all of the great stuff that's made for us to make our lives convenient or happy or fun, let us not forget to also pay attention to all of the beauty and wonder that is your world, the things that you gave us, all of the stuff that is in nature that makes our life beautiful and fun and grand. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we go to God in prayer this week, I'd like for you to please remember Lauren or Kirby and Helen Kirby. They were both on an Alaskan cruise with their son and daughter-in-law, Mike and Debbie, when Kirby became rather ill, and then Helen kind of picked up the same illness. They were able to get home and are now home, but we just pray for their good recovery in the days ahead. We want to lift up Rihanna Ralston, the daughter of Ruth Ann Solomon, as she again has heart concerns. We want to remember Joyce Osborne, as she is looking to have surgery at the KU Medical Center on Tuesday of this week. Peggy, we lift up Jerry every day. Hope he's gaining in some strength and healing day by day. We certainly continue to remember Michelle and Jesus Jacobo. Glad that Michelle is home, but keep lifting her up in prayer. We lift up Lana Witten's friend, Joanna Savage, as we also lift up her granddaughter, Addie Settles. We also remember Carla Ziegler. She is the wife of Roger Blakely's co-worker, Richard. We remember David Haynes as he continues to have respiratory concerns. We lift up Joan Casebolt. Joan, in the midst of the ankle concerns, for you day by day. And certainly we have a number of other folks we've been remembering day to day over the weeks past. So with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. We rejoice in the privilege to offer you worship and praise this Lord's Day morning, O God, especially on this Sunday before this Thursday, the day we celebrate Independence Day. And we express our gratitude for the remarkable freedoms bestowed upon us, first as citizens of heaven and secondly as citizens of this nation. We offer our thanksgiving for our freedom as citizens of heaven, realizing that it is through the sacrifice of Christ our Lord that as we seek forgiveness of our sin and humbly accept Christ as Lord and Savior, that we are freed from the burden of sin and even death. We are given the privilege to serve others in the name of Christ. We also offer our thanksgiving a Heavenly Father, for our freedom as citizens of this country. As our founding fathers knew that the success of our nation relied upon a responsible citizenship, we acknowledge that many of our founders emphasized a sound moral and spiritual education, which they believed was necessary for us to behave appropriately and respectfully toward one another. It is the freedom from sin, anarchy, and even death itself that we recognize and celebrate in your house of worship this morning. And as we step forward with the task that you give us, inspire and encourage each of us, and with each day and hour, that we will do that which benefits others for your glory. For the freedom to serve, we give you thanks as we recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Our scripture this morning comes from Genesis, the third chapter. It's verses 8 through 21. And you may find that in your pew Bible on page 3. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But when the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat on all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pangs in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it in all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man named his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all who live. And the Lord God made garments of skins for the man and for his wife, and clothed them.
Across the sea, let us pledge allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair as we lift our voices in this solemn prayer. America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet
Thank you, Gail, and thank you, Lenora. Thank you. We've all heard of Paul Revere and his midnight ride on the 18th of April, 1775, to warn of British troops marching toward Lexington and Concord. Paul Revere's ride of 20 miles is immortalized in the poem that some of us had to memorize for English class back a few years ago in school. Yet forgotten in history is a ride of much greater significance undertaken by a 23-year-old dispatch rider named Israel Bissell. No, he's not the vacuum cleaner guy. When the call to arms was made by the Massachusetts Provincial Congress, Bissell took off on a southerly route. Under his spurs, his horse seemed to take wing. Local legend has it that he made the ride to Worcester a day's ride in just 2 hours, and that his horse dropped dead as he arrived. With a new horse, Bissell was off again. Through Connecticut, he raced, and then to New York, and on to Philadelphia, covering 345 miles in 4 days and 6 hours, an astonishing record time. It was certainly the little-known Israel Bissell who made the most significant ride that called forth the colonists at a most crucial of times. As we gather around the Lord's table this morning, we are grateful for the truth that Christ was the one who made a most significant journey at the most crucial of times. For Christ said in anguish during his prayer to God in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And as Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12 reminds us, Christ offered one sacrifice for sins, an offering that is effective forever. And then he sat down at the right side of God. We offer our thanksgiving for Christ's journey to the cross, that we might be redeemed. As we prepare to receive the elements of bread and cup of the Lord's Supper, we turn to our communion hymn number 714 as we sing stanzas 1 and 3 of "For the Fruit of All Creation."
For the fruit of all creation, thanks be to God. For good gifts to every nation, thanks be to God. For the plowing, sowing, reaping, silent growth while we are sleeping, future needs in earth safekeeping, thanks be to God. For the harvests of the Spirit, thanks be to God. For the good we all inherit, thanks be to God. For the wonders that astound us, for the truth that still confound us, most of all that love has found us, thanks be to God.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Kathy leads us in a word of prayer.
Dearest Heavenly Father, as we prepare this week to celebrate Independence Day and the many men and women who have fought to keep our country free, let us also remember the great sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he gave his life so that we may be free from sin and that we may be free from death. In Jesus' name, amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share.
Thank you.
In 1774, Philadelphia importer Robert Morris was considered by many to be the wealthiest man in America. He could have set out the war in relative luxury, or certainly even, as some merchants did, he could have made a handsome profit during the war. Instead, hearing the call to patriotism, Morris signed on to the boycott of British goods, a decision that decreased his finances significantly, and he continued to support the cause of the new nation. He served as a member of the Pennsylvania Legislature, the Second Continental Congress, and the United States Senate. He was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, and the United States Constitution. There were countless times throughout the Revolutionary War when he was called upon to shore up American finances at critical times with his own money. And Morris also utilized every business and personal contact he had while being responsible for numerous civic offices in the cause of national freedom. By war's end, Morris himself was in personal financial trouble. To make some quick cash, he invested in land speculation. The bottom fell out, and then, of course, Morris was arrested because of his financial plight, and his family lost everything. Late in life, he spent 3.5 years in a debtor's prison and lived less than 5 years after his release. There was no public ceremony to commemorate even his passing on the 8th of May in 1806. Few Americans remember Robert Morris, but all of us are benefactors of the personal sacrifices that he and so many others made so that generations after him may enjoy the greatest personal freedoms on earth. As we consider what we have to offer for the work of God's kingdom in our day and time, may we also remember not only the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, but the sacrifices of many before us, so that we enjoy the freedoms that we experience today. With these thoughts in mind, Anna leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings.
Lord, we come to you with our gifts in hand. We give our offerings with purpose and love in honor of you and all that you have supplied for us. Today, we ask for your blessing on these gifts so that many may be able to use them and share your love today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Well, with the 4th of July being this Thursday, it would seem appropriate to do some kind of message about the 4th of July kind of context, but I'm not going to do that because I've already started my series of sermons about these extraordinary women of Scripture based upon John Macmillan's book that I was telling you about last week. So we're going to move forward here. Last week was kind of an introduction, but as we think about the women in Scripture, who would be the first one for us to talk about? Eve, right? So I think we'll do that. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house and to know that even at the time of the fall, there was indeed a great message of redemption for humanity. And so as we step forward, even in the midst of our own failings, may we know, God, that you're always there to offer up the hope of redemption. It's in the name of Christ that we give thanks. Amen. So as we focus our attention on Eve this morning, the trivia question for the day is, according to Scripture, how many names did Eve have? Any idea? If you read through the stories about Eve, what were her names? What were the names given? How many names? You're saying, well, one, Eve, right? Well, actually, the answer is really three. And so let's look at the text. First, in the beginning, God called both man and woman Adam. You have to go all the way to the fifth chapter of Genesis. Genesis 5, verse 2. This is the King James Version. Male and female created he, meaning God, created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam. Called who? Their name Adam. Now, the name Adam in Hebrew is actually derived from a couple of Hebraic words. One, Adamu, which simply means to make, and the second, Adama, which means of the earth. So the name Adam means to be made of the earth. But the fact that in that text we see both man and woman being called Adam, what we have to understand is that in God's perception, the two should be what? One. God, in his original comprehension of what it would be mean to experience humanity, meant that the two were to be harmonious and one in nature, without strife, without drama, without controversy, all of which seems to inflict couples time and time again, generations past and even generations today. And we are reminded of God's intention four times in Scripture, the book of Genesis, Matthew, Mark, and Ephesians, where the text tells us repeatedly, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they shall become what? One flesh. You know that from the way it's used in the ceremony for marriages, right? But what it is emphasizing is that the intentionality was that there was a measure of companionship that God intended for man and woman that was profoundly remarkable. And indeed, when couples are able to experience that kind of camaraderie and friendship and teamwork, boy, they really do have the privilege to experience a heaven on earth, right? So the first name for Adam and Eve, simply Adam, to be made of the earth. Second, after the creation of Eve, Adam called her what? Woman. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken of man. The word woman simply means, in its original context, to be of man. And then, of course, there is that third name that, of course, we often think of, and that is the name Eve. It's actually after the fall that woman receives this name. Adam gives his wife the name Eve. Read Genesis chapter 3. Adam named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all human beings. So Eve, in the Hebraic language, Shava, simply means to be the one from whom life comes from. And so Eve is certainly the, what, first mother of all humanity. So next time you're at a dinner table or when you're at your 4th of July event somewhere, you can ask the question this week, how many names did Eve have? How many?
Three.
You actually look at the text. Now, when we think about Eve, what's rather interesting is that we don't know that much about her. In fact, we don't know how long she lived. We don't even know how many children she had. We don't know what she looked like, do we? Because all the, you know, they kind of take a back seat to what really happens as we start up in the book of Genesis. And of course, what happens? We have the fall of humanity. And here's where we begin to understand that Eve gets the bad rap. Why? Everybody blames Eve for the fall of humanity. In fact, what's rather interesting is that if you look at medieval art, even at the front entrance to the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, France, you remember the huge cathedral that lost its roof recently from fire? That very cathedral, as you're coming up to the front, there is a carving above the doors in which you see the depiction of the fall. Makes kind of sense, doesn't it? You know, as you go into God's house, you're reminded of your fall. Because that way you'll be reminded of your need to repent. You know, those medieval folks, when they started building that, they had an idea there. But as you look up at this carving and in the stonework, what you see is Adam and Eve. You see a tree, and you see a snake kind of going running around the trunk of the tree. And the head of the serpent, or Satan, what is it? Is it the head of a snake? No. It's actually a mirror image carved in there of Eve herself. Isn't that something? As if to see, you're going to see yourself, and in yourself you see what? Sin and separation from God. So Eve gets the bad rap, doesn't she? Even in early artwork. But what we have to understand as we look at the story here is that, of course, when God approaches Adam and Eve, who does he talk to first? Does he talk to Eve first? No. God first talks to Adam. Because Adam, as the head of the household, if you will, is actually the one who is responsible. Right? That was God's plan. Eve was made from Adam. So if Adam is the head, he ought to also be the wisdom and the understanding about what's right and what's wrong. In fact, Eve did not get the instruction about the tree in the middle of the garden from God. Eve got that instruction from who? From God. Because the instruction about leave that tree alone was given to who? From God to Adam. And Adam conveyed that message then to Eve sometime before the fall, obviously, because she was well informed. Now, you know how the story goes. Here the serpent comes along and says, oh, no, Eve, you won't die. If you eat the fruit of this tree, you will what? You will become like God. You'll be wise and become like God. The original temptation is all about this business of trying to one-up God. And isn't it interesting how time and time again we human beings are always trying to trump God rather than to be subservient to God? We're always trying to outdo God's will rather than follow God's will. That's the real fall of humanity, is believing that we're bigger and better than God. That's the fall of Satan. Satan, the text tells us, was a fallen angel. Fallen because of what? He thought he was beautiful. He thought he was more powerful, more significant than even the Creator, you see. Of course, we know Eve takes the fruit of the tree, and then she does what? Gives it, passes it on to Adam. Does Adam debate the point? No, he just takes it. Time and time again, men abdicate their own authority that God has given them. Time and time again, if men would say, stop, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be, a lot of problems in the world wouldn't be our problems. Men, we need to step up to the plate, take responsibility for that which God has entrusted us. But we don't. We just follow along. That's what happened with the fact that Ishmael was born to Hagar. Polygamy was not the plan in God's household. But Abraham did what? He just followed along with Sarah's scheme. That's next week's sermon, so be here. But it all fits, does it not? And yet, of course, in their shame, both Adam and Eve, they cover themselves with leaves, as if somehow if they could just cover themselves with enough camouflage, they'll be hidden, kind of like hunters out there in the sticks. You know, we'll cover ourselves with all kinds of camouflage, and maybe that old silly hog won't see us. Or maybe the deer won't either. You know, we like to cover ourselves up, especially when we do something wrong. You know, you ever watch a child, their youngest children, when they know they've done something wrong and they're ashamed of it, they'll take their hands and they'll cover up their eyes like that, won't they? Because if they can cover up their eyes and they can't see themselves, then what? No one else can see them either, so they think. That's how silly it is. When humanity tries to cover up, we try to cover ourselves up in the midst of our own shame. And then, of course, when covering ourselves doesn't work, doesn't keep us hidden, what do? We love to project our stuff onto others. Notice, God went to Adam. Adam, hey, what's wrong? Oh, I'm naked, God, I'm trying to hide. Oh, who told you you're naked? What's been going on? Did you eat of the fruit of that tree that you're not supposed to? And does Adam, here's another opportunity for Adam, but what does he do? He abdicates the opportunity to confess, to be truthful. And what does he do? He uses blame, the blame game. He says, the woman that you gave me made me eat the fruit of that tree. Notice who he's blaming. He's not only blaming the woman, he's also blaming who? God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to blame God for anything. Do you? Oh. Then he goes to Eve. What does Eve do? Eve also plays the blame game. The serpent deceived me, she says, and then I ate. You see, we do blame well. We try to project our stuff onto other people. It wasn't my fault when I ran that red light. The light just turned too soon. Whatever. Or the lady who ran into Carrie's car years ago. It was actually my car. I was with the Air Force gone. She was driving my car. The lady ran into it. I was talking to her on the phone later. She had no insurance, blah, blah. Well, my car got more damage than yours did. Does that help? No. Does that take responsibility? No. We love to do that. But yet, God doesn't play the game. He pronounces punishment and judgment. He doesn't listen to their excuses. And of course, for humanity, man's going to have a tough time trying to make a living, and women are going to have a real difficult time, painful childbirth, right? The scenario's gone on, and of course, the controversy between men and women has gone on ever since. That strife between husband and wife still exists, even today, right? But through it all, isn't it interesting to note that God immediately gives hope for humanity? As we look at the text, we know that God then says that the head of the serpent will be struck by the offspring of the woman. What you have to understand, folks, is that from biblical tradition's point of view, this is the very first hint of what we call the messianic hope given to us right there in the beginning. Even in the midst of the fall, the hope for humanity is given. We know that hope is given to us in Christ, who is Lord and Savior. We know from Romans chapter 5, verse 18, that as one sin came into the world through Adam, and we're all condemned, we know that in the same way, the one righteous act of who? Christ sets all mankind free and gives them life. So the question is, as it is every Sunday, do you know Christ? Is he your Lord and Savior? If he isn't, maybe today is that day that you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is the day you need to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitations, number 558, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Let us stand and sing stanzas 1 and 3, please, number 558.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us thine we are. Early let us seek thy favor, early let us do thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with thy love our spirits fill. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still. Blessed Jesus, thou hast loved us still.
Please have a seat for a minute this morning. It's truly our privilege to welcome Ed and Shirley Keel as they have decided that they would like to transfer their membership from Park Hill Christian Church here to Berry Christian Church. And as you all make this transfer, I want to ask you again, do you believe with all your heart that indeed Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living Lord, as you have accepted him as Lord and Savior? Yes. We celebrate that affirmation. And Ed, it's my privilege to welcome you into the fellowship of Berry Christian Church. Ed, God bless you. And Shirley, we welcome you into the fellowship of Berry Christian Church as well. God bless you both. And Ed also in his retirement years has the unique privilege of also from time to time clown around with some of our younger children in the community, as he has several different characters that he portrays with being a clown and having balloons and all kinds of fun things. And we look forward to seeing that one of these days here, Ed. We do, don't we? Let's welcome Ed and Shirley. God bless you. Thank you so much. Praise God. May we have a word of prayer. Lord God, as Ed and Shirley have come forward to become a part of our fellowship, we give thanks and pray that they will indeed experience the blessing of your Holy Spirit in a most wonderful way in our fellowship here at Berry. And as all of us step forward in the days, weeks, months ahead, we know your Spirit desires to guide us that we may indeed accomplish what we may for the glory of your kingdom here on earth. Guide us this day and always as we depart from your house. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Stand for the next song. Thank you. Would y'all like to join me in the back? Thank you.
I want Jesus to walk with me. I want Jesus to walk with me. All along my pilgrim journey, oh, I want Jesus to walk with me. When I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me. When I'm troubled, Lord, walk with me. When my head is bowed in sorrow, oh, I want Jesus to walk with me.